First, a bit of parish information. Most parishioners are more than happy to tell a pastor what to do or where to go. But every parish has basically two primary advisory councils, the finance council and the parish's pastoral council. During the last couple of years, we added some new members to the finance council. During the next 2 months, we're going to be making some adjustments with regards to our parish's pastoral council. We will elect or select some new members, and we're also going to cluster our various parish ministries into 5 standing committees. One that deals with liturgy, another education, then family life, service, and maintenance. We'll work out the details during the next couple of months. Next weekend's bulletin will have a proposed format in terms of what the committees are and what their responsibilities will be. Children, when they pray, can sometimes be kind of funny, but also kind of wise. Here are a few examples. Dear God, maybe Cain would not have killed his brother Abel if they each had their own room. It works out okay with me and my brother. Dear God, instead of letting people die and having to make new ones, why don't you just keep the ones you have? Dear God, when my mom makes leftovers, do I have to pray for the food again? Dear God, I say your prayer every night. Lead us not into temptation and deliver us some email. But I never get email from you. Do you have the right address? Who taught you how to pray? Your mom or dad? Your grandmother or pap? A sister in Catholic grade school? A CCD teacher? What are the prayers you know by heart? Are you able to pray spontaneously, creating your own prayer, like the Protestants do so well? In addition to grace before meals and here in church, have your kids ever seen you pray at home? For most of us, our primary form of prayer is asking God for stuff. Better health, the sale of a house. Poor Saint Joseph being buried upside down over and over and over again. Praying for a passing grade. Prayer, perhaps, when you were younger and you were going home from war. If we got what we asked for, we sometimes told God thanks. If we didn't get what we asked for, we could become frustrated, ticked off at God, or even stop believing in God or praying altogether. While the disciples were watching Jesus at prayer, one of them approaches Jesus and says, "Lord, John the Baptist taught his followers how to pray. Why don't you teach us how to pray?" And so he does. We are to call God our Father. He's the Father of every single one of us. We are to pray that his name is holy and that he rules our lives and the world. We are to pray for sustenance. Give us what we need. We pray to be forgiven. We pray to be protected. And as Catholics, most of us probably learned 4 reasons for prayer or 4 types of prayer. We are to praise God. We are to pray thanking God. We pray for forgiveness. And we pray for what I want or what I need. Providing our attitude is the attitude of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Not my will, but yours be done. But I suspect that most of us, many of us, have found prayer at times to be challenging, perhaps even disheartening. How come? because every once in a while we feel as if God has handed us a snake when we ask for a fish, or God gave us a scorpion when all we wanted was an egg. When prayer seems to be unanswered, or answered in a way we never wanted, what's a person to do? I suggest the following. There's a need for surrender. And by that I don't mean giving up. I mean giving in to the will of God, allowing God to be God. There are things that we experience that we have no control over, and so there's a need for surrender. This week, I found a bit of inspiration from, of all places, a Walmart parking lot. I passed a vehicle that had a tire attached in the back, and the tire had a cover, and the cover had a picture of a frog and the acronym FROG. Fully rely on God. Now that might sound trite, but for a lot of saints, that was their source of survival. Rely, fully rely on God. And then there's a need for trust. Trusting, especially when we don't understand, and more often than not, we don't understand. But trusting in a God who is wiser, more loving, more faithful than any one of us. And believing in God's ultimate goodness and care. And then there's a need for hope. The past and the present are not the full story of our lives. There is a future. And hope is a theological virtue by which we desire and we expect from God both eternal life and the grace to attain it. Because that's what we're made for. That's our destiny. That's our dignity. We've come from God. We live with God. And we're destined to be with God. Surrender. Trust. Hope. But we also need to remember that God has given us many, many good gifts, including the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And if we're honest, we have received and we have found so much. Throughout each of our lives, so many doors have been opened, doors into loving relationships, doors into employment opportunities, doors into fun experiences, doors into moments of healing, doors into life-enriching experiences. And the Holy Spirit has given us courage when we're afraid. The Holy Spirit has brought us comfort when we're hurt. And the Holy Spirit gives us strength when we feel too weak to move on. And so as children, teenagers, and adults, we need to learn how to pray as Jesus taught. And in some cases, that might involve growing up spiritually. The Holy Spirit who entered our lives at baptism, the Holy Spirit who confirmed God's presence in our lives in confirmation, is the same Holy Spirit who sanctifies our gifts this morning. And by the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus, the gift we receive is the gift of God Himself. And so we pray not only as Jesus taught, but we pray through Him, with Him, and in Him. It is good to be in this place.